Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. God gave gifts to men. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Father, thank you this morning for these scriptures that we have, Lord, and connecting the dots together, Lord. We just pray that we come to a better understanding and the children, Lord, would be encouraged because they are part of this body and they have gifts to serve. And Lord, we pray for them that they would see that as they're growing in the Lord and growing in their maturity in life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, there's a few things. So, we see in Acts that there is a cooperation amongst the church to bring everything that they had together, sell it, and bring all the proceeds together. Some have said today, why don't we do that now? We don't have the same, it's not the same economy as it was then. And if you know about the early church, first of all, understand Barnabas was, anybody remember what it said in the verse? What was he? Yeah, son of encouragement, but what was he in the Jewish faith? Levite. Levite, thank you. You know that Levites were forbidden from owning land in the Old Testament? Well, technically not from owning any land, but they weren't given a portion of the land to own. When the 12 tribes were broken up and they were all given land, the Levites didn't have a portion. Their portion was to take from the sacrifices in the temple. Doesn't mean they couldn't buy things, and you know at the year of Jubilee, all land would revert back to its original owners anyway. But obviously he was an industrious person, and we know that they didn't follow all the rules in Jesus' time. But he was a Levite, interesting. They sold things. There was a need in the early church because these new Jewish believers were also being cut off from their families. And there was no way for them to make a living anymore. Because you know as well as I do that a cobbler has a cobbler's son, and his son is a cobbler, and their son's a cobbler, and it goes on. And those trades are passed down in families. And so if you can just imagine in the early church, just imagine, just know how it is today when someone says, "Ooh, guess what? I got saved, and I'm following Jesus." And the whole family goes, "What?" Or it gets nasty sometimes, and they don't want to get together with them anymore. Those Jesus freaks are coming today. Really, who invited them? Talking about cousins, nephews, you know, you get the idea. It happens today. So can you imagine in those days when the family just said, you know, this is it, and they're threatening. We already know it says in the Bible that the Pharisees were threatening anyone that was kind towards Jesus and his followers or took them in. Guess what happened to them? They were kicked out of the synagogue. So does it surprise us that when they became Christians, they had no place to go? They had this new family, and guess what? They were all, like, stuck with no jobs. So what they did is they took what they had, and they brought it together, and they lived communally. And that's why we have that in Acts chapter 4. We also have, in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he took away, he made us free, and he gave gifts to men. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are diversities of those gifts. So let's get down to the brass tacks here. What is the difference between possessions and gifts? Somebody? What's the difference between a possession and a gift? Come on. Anybody want to take a stab at it? All right, we're going to go over here. You know how this works. We go around the room, and there's no wrong questions, no wrong answers, no wrong questions either.
A possession is something you own. A gift is a gift from God. It's not something you can earn.
It's not something you own, it's something you or earn, it's something that's just given to you. So gifts. So, and we also have gifts in this world, right, that are given to us by other people? Sure. So does that make sense? All right. What else we know about possessions and gifts? Anybody else? Everybody satisfied? That's it? Or you want to add more to it? This is group participation time. You guys are rough. What a rough crowd. It's like, yeah, it's because we don't have enough kids here today. What? We should have paid William to come, and he could stand in front and answer everything.
Yeah. This is my possession now.
No, it's not. It's a gift.
Okay. A possession is you own it. To possess something means that you have it in your hand. We say we have a home. Is our home our possession? Technically, it's in our possession, but the bank owns it until we pay it off.
Okay.
So, but a gift, like you say, is something you is given to you. A possession could be something you had to work for and earn, but a gift is something that was just flat out given to you. You didn't earn it, or maybe not even deserve it.
Kind of dealing with the same thing.
A gift is something you give away, and a possession is something you keep.
Gift is something you give away, and a possession is something you keep. Yeah. Sure. What? Anybody else? Come on. What's that?
Like Christmas,
Scott says. Yes. Okay, if you have a possession, you have to buy that possession? Usually. Okay, right. All right, so we have there are degrees to all of these things, right?
A possession you have control over, whereas a gift, it was freely given to you and you have no theoretical authority over it.
Ooh, now we're getting deep. Okay, so we've got a lot of these are good, aren't they? You agree with them all? I do. I mean, I think that everything that was said has value. But we understand that there is a difference between possessions and gifts. And that's the first thing we want to understand. So possessions are those things that, all right, basically we own, have been privileged to have acquired, worked hard for, et cetera, et cetera. But there are two types of possessions. Material possessions, right? Can you name some material possessions? Just yell them out. Jewelry, house. What was that? Tractor? Thanks, Farmer Jim. Tractor. That is a possession. What is that? Cars? Well, cars are kind of falling in the same line with houses, right? The bank's owning them until you pay them off. Clothes, okay. What? What do we have? What else?
Books? Bibles?
Sure.
I think you get this.
She's like William. She won't let go. All right. Material possessions. We get an idea of that. There's another type of possession. And this may cross over too. You may not completely agree. I'm trying to find some common ground so that when the children would hear this, they would kind of maybe be able to compartmentalize these things. How about natural abilities? Those can be possessions that we just naturally have. What can some of those be? Athletics. Some are very athletic, right? It's just, now we could say, well, that was a gift, but it's something, we're going to separate the gifts as spiritual from possessions that we already kind of understand about. What else? Musical abilities. Those are natural abilities. What are the kind of abilities? Yeah. What? Speech, yes. Speaking. I mean, there's lots of them, right? And that gets confusing today in Christian circles because we find, and I've said this before, that people are becoming more and more vetted for certain type of Christian ministry based on natural ability. Ah, but there is a difference, isn't there? And we kind of overlook other aspects of what gifts could be versus natural abilities, because some of them cross over or actually look like one another. So we see some things here. So there's possessions. And so gifts are usually what we're thinking in the Christian realm are spiritual in nature and individually manifested. The possessions, which we saw in Acts chapter 4, what were they doing with their possessions? Selling them and bringing the price to the church. Can anyone think of a couple that said they sold everything and didn't? Yes? Ananias and Sapphira. You can't forget their names, can you? Because they sold almost all of it. Is there anything wrong with selling it and bringing some of it to the church at the time? No. Right? Is there something wrong with that? I mean, you know, they kept 20% and gave 80. Wow. You know? What was their problem? They lied about it. And who were they lying to? They were lying to God. I mean, it's like, you know, they were trying to get it from both ends. They were like, we sold it all, and they really didn't. They kept a little nest egg aside, you know, in a Swiss bank account someplace, an offshore account. And then they went to the church and they said, oh, we sold everything and have nothing. We're here to get our daily rations, the food, you know, all that stuff. Well, they didn't make it that far. Because the Holy Spirit found out and showed Peter that, and Peter just said, hey, you know, it's like, did you do this? That, dead. You know, it's like, wow. Oh, that God would do that today. There'd be three of us here. Maybe not even any of us here. I don't know. All right, so we get the idea about possessions, right? All right, let's go to question number 2. It's up on the screen. Where do spiritual gifts come from? Now, the children should already know this because they already had a lesson on this. So I'm prepping them. Yes?
God and Jesus.
I did it.
Sound like the same answers before. Hang on. Wait. Go ahead.
God and Jesus.
Yeah, that's a smart brother.
And the Holy Spirit.
Yes! All right. Woo! Excellent. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he said. See, he was paying attention in the class. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at this. I put it in the NLT. Whatever. I'm going to read. Is this chapter 12, verses 7 to 11? Yeah, it is. All right, whatever. It came up in the wrong one. Don't worry about it. Let me read, follow along. I want to read it because I want the kids to hear it this way. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the Spirit, same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. He alone decides what gift each person should have. So it makes me kind of chuckle sometimes when I hear people saying that I'm just going to pray that God will give me this gift. And it's like, okay, but he's going to give you the gift that he thinks you should have. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for it, but it's like, you're going to get the gift that God gave you. And you know what? I think sometimes people don't like the gifts that God gives. Because the Holy Spirit decides, and then they go, but I want the gift that they have over there. But that he didn't give you that gift. He gave you this gift. Why? Why? People say, because he knows you. And he'll give you the gift so that you can fit in that place where he wants you to fit. So we know that they come from the Holy Spirit. Does everybody agree that the spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit? Anybody against that? Speak now and get escorted out. I mean, forever hold your peace. No, I'm only kidding. No, we understand that. We see the scriptures are clear on that. Jesus said that he was going to give another comforter. He said, I have to go in John, and when I go, I'm going to send the comforter to you, the paraclete, we call him. That's the Greek word for that person, that individual essence of God, the Spirit of God who's going to come. He's going to live within us and be with us, but he also equips us. See, because he's the one who's living in us, he knows the gift that we need so that when he's living in us and we're walking in the Spirit, we could utilize the gift that he gave us. That's different than the possessions. But let me, before I get to question number three, let me throw this in there. Where do you think possessions come from? Are you sure about that? Are you absolutely positive about that? Are you positive? You know only fools are positive. You're supposed to ask me, are you sure? No, I'm positive. See? You guys don't watch enough Three Stooges to get that, so that's your problem. Yeah. And you see, this is very different because there are even people in Bible-believing fellowships that still thinking in the back of their mind, well, no, you know, this job that I have, I made it. It's my company. Well, you forget that your natural abilities are what gave you the ability to do that and some gifts from God as well. And this is what he blessed you with. And that's why that whole health and wealth faith thing that's out there is a bunch of baloney. Because God is the one who gives this stuff. But why would he give me this then? So that you could squander it away, never give anything to the church, the body of Christ, never do anything for the kingdom of God, so that you can just retire early, sit back, and go to the Cayman Islands or something like that. That's why he did that. That's ridiculous. The same reason that he would give you the possessions, those natural abilities as well, is so that the body can be filled with the goodness of God, just like the gifts. But I like to look at them differently because there is a difference. And somebody might say, well, yeah, you know, look, you speak all the time, so you have that natural ability to speak. I don't have a natural ability to speak. Because when I'm speaking to somebody across a table, I do a pretty good Porky Pig imitation. Sometimes I can't remember what I'm going to say or the words I'm going to say. I only do what I'm doing here because that's the gift that God gave me. That's the one that I ran away from. But he said, you better do it because this is what I gave you. And so when I open my mouth with the Bible, I don't forget anything. In fact, after I go through my you know, I just prep for even an afternoon, I remember every single one of those Bible verses. I can't remember my wife's phone number sometimes. It's not because it's in my phone book, in my book. There's a lot of things I just forget. But when it comes to the Word of God, I don't forget it. It's like, bang, the Holy Spirit gives it to me. Why? Because it's a gift of God, and I've got to use it. So as much as I may not do it the way somebody may like it, I just have to do it the way that God called me to do it, because that's what he called me to do. And he gave me that gift. And yeah, it's like my particular gift in preaching is like, I'm going to use this illustration, like, you know those wind-up music boxes? And they just keep, the plays a song, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, it just keeps going around and around. There's no stop on the thing. That's me. Mine's just a drum with no end. Just keeps going around and around and around and around and around. And he didn't give me the gift of jokes because you're all sitting there going, Sean, can we get a pop-up that says laugh? Gifts and possessions. Now, question three, the big question. What are we supposed to do with them? We already gave you a hint. We don't have a scripture for this here because we've already been through it. And I already gave you a hint. What are we supposed to do with the gifts, possessions, with everything that God has blessed us with? What's the answer? Share them. Share them. Everybody. Whatever we have. Because in the early church, they didn't think that those things that they had, that they acquired, it said in the scripture, were theirs to possess and hold on to. I've said this before, but I love this quote. It's from Ernest Hemingway. It's something he said in one of his books. I don't even know what book it was. He said, it might have been in an interview, but the quote goes this way, you never truly own anything until you have given it away. From a guy who didn't believe the scriptures, he had an insight into humanity and what makes us all tick. You don't own anything until you have given it away, because it owns you. And the problem that we have in our churches all over the world is that there are people who are stingy, thinking that this is mine, I own it, but actually it's owning you and it's controlling you. Because when I let it go, I've just released it and I show that it's all mine. I think that's just beautiful. And I think that plays into the way that we need to look at our lives in the church. We use them for the benefit of the body of Christ. We use our gifts for the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Would anyone dare right now just stand up and point to the body of Christ? Somebody. Come on, you got to stand up and point. Thank you. All right, we're getting it. People pointing all over the room. We are the body of Christ, are we not? And we are here gathered together, and we don't have to argue about, oh, well, what about all those people that aren't here this morning? They're all part of the body of Christ, but we can see the body of Christ right here in front of us, right? And so God has given us things. God has given us possessions. God has given us gifts to freely give. For what purpose? To benefit everyone. And that means not only from right here, but sometimes it's outwardly. And that's why we have, you know, we've had some funds that have been established because people have put money into, you know, the building fund. Or some people have put, these are better, the fuel fund. Somebody's running out of fuel in the winter. They need fuel. We have a fuel fund for that. I mean, what are those gifts given toward for people to be able to be blessed? Okay? We all can give, and we all should be using. And we could probably ramp up our game a little bit with the possessions we have. It doesn't mean we have to like, oh, go sell it all tomorrow. But if Jesus asked you to do that, would you do it? That's a tough one, isn't it? Because I'm not telling you that's what he told you to do. Just because he told the young rich ruler to do it, he didn't say that to anybody else. He said it to the person that he knew that was what was controlling him. Sometimes maybe we need to do an inventory check and find out what's controlling us, and that's what we need to give away. But how about the gifts? The spiritual gifts that we owe it to God. We have a duty to figure out what are our spiritual gifts and stop worrying about the ones we don't have. Take the ones we do have and utilize them, and our children to utilize them. That's why we have family service. We want them to be involved. We want them to feel like they're part of this great body of Christ. So nothing here is about percentages, not about the tithing thing or about the law. It's all about the heart. We have been given spiritual gifts to use in the church and for the kingdom of God. Here's the last question for you to take home with you today. How can you use yours? How can you use yours? I'm open to any suggestions. If you come to me and you say, hey, I really feel that God is putting something in my heart, I'm all ears. You know that. I have never said to anyone ever in the 12 years this church has been together, I've ever said, well, I don't think that's what God's calling you to do. I don't think we need that. You see, because if you told me that God's put this in your heart, I think then we need it, even though I may not know it. I'm smart enough to realize that God has given people inclinations, but God has put things in people's hearts. God has told people strongly in their mind and in their life, this is what I need you to do. You need to come to me, somebody, but you can come to me. I just want you to know you can come to me, and you're not going to be fearful that I'm going to say, well, no, I think we'd rather have you over there, you know, like, what do we need help with? The nursery. I think God really wants you to be in the nursery. That's where your spiritual gift lies. I have no idea where your spiritual gift is. I can't look at you and tell you what your spiritual gift is. You know what it is. Because I don't think that God gives spiritual gifts and then says, now try to figure it out. God doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit who is in you and living in you right now, that's different than other churches who don't believe the Bible, right? Living and abiding in you right now has given you a gift, at least one. And he has made it known to you what it is. If you're not using it, it's only because you're afraid to acknowledge what that gift might be. Or you're running from it. But search within your life, in your heart, and he'll make it clear. Because he's the one who gave it. He's not going to tell me to make it clear for you. He's going to make it clear. I have enough struggle getting my own together. But we ought to get it together to serve God. Because that's why he gave them all those wonderful gifts. All those wonderful gifts. Sometimes my gifts that he has given to me, I go back over things, in the scriptures and I search it out and find out where's my heart in this thing. And there's gifts that he's given me and gifts he has not. Sometimes I want those gifts that he has given to other people and I don't seem to have. It doesn't mean I can't do those things anyway, but it doesn't mean that I have that particular gift. But when that gift is there and you know it, there's like a proverbial hair that goes up on the back of your neck. You just know there's something here. And sometimes he puts situations in your life and you're like, whoa, what's he doing here? And God, why are you doing this now? I really don't want to be thinking about this. Because your gift is right there and I want you to tap into this because there's something that I need you to see with this. And that happened to me very recently. It happened to me very recently. I can't go into the details on this because it involves people outside of this church, so I'm not going to say it. But it was so uncanny that one thing started happening, and then all of a sudden, somebody else contacted me, and it's like, oh, these are like two people that I have nothing spiritually in contact in line with, and yet my heart knows exactly where I stand on this issue because I have that spirit of discernment and I can see right through it, and God's put me right dead smack in the middle of it, and now I've got to like say something, make a decision that may or may not be all that great for these other people, but I still got to do it because it's for the body of Christ. Just think about that for a second. You have a gift, and if you're not using it, we are walking around crippled. We are walking around crippled, especially when we're praying for different things that are going on in the church. I think that some people have a gift in their ability in praying to touch the very heart of God. We need you praying. I think there are people that have great gifts of encouragement. And we need you, when you hear these things, to reach out to those folks. Oh, please don't call me up on the phone and say, hey, you know, did you reach out to this person? Did we? You know, if you feel it, you should have reached out to him. Call them. Go see him. Don't filter everything through me. Oh, my gosh. I'm not like the oil filter for the church. Have you ever seen what happens to a dirty oil filter on a car when you go to take it out? How about when you forget to take it out for a couple of oil changes? The old days when you, oh, sorry. Actually, people, I don't know if you knew this, but cars have oil in them that makes the engine run. Some people don't have no idea what I'm talking about. I just go and they tell me how much, and they, yeah, I know. But if you've never changed an oil filter, a dirty oil filter, you go to tip it upside down to get the old oil out, and you notice right away that there's something different. The new oil has this nice, lucid brown color. You know, it's very, very pleasant. You tip over the oil filter, and this black, icky stuff comes out, and then sometimes, bloop, bloop. What's happening? It's getting clogged up. All that good oil is going through there after it's been passed through the engine. It's going through the filter and it's getting all clogged. You got to change that filter. That's why a lot of churches have problems and they have to change pastors because they're filtering everything through him. And the problem, he's getting burnt out, he's getting clogged up, and he can't do it because he's not equipped to do it. That's not my job. That's not my gift. You have a gift. And you've been given. You have been given the authority to go out and use that gift. I am telling you right now, let this be recorded. I am saying to you, you don't have to get my permission. What? I've never heard of such a thing. Every church we've ever been to, we have to get his permission. You don't need my permission. Just go do it. Just go do it. We need to use our gifts because we are the body of Christ. Are we the body of Christ? Are you part of the body of Christ?
Yes.
You want to say one more thing? Go ahead. We're going to do the ABCs. She says yes. We are part of the body of Christ, all of us. Young, old, small, doesn't matter. And we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Let's serve him together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jim, come on down.